The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate of in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. So we read in the last sentence of the Gospel this evening, and when they had done all that the law required, they returned to Nazareth, where Jesus grew in age and wisdom. What a very interesting phrase. And so it gives us the opportunity maybe to examine that little phrase a bit more. What kind of place was Nazareth? Well, I always have thought for, or recently really, that when it comes to Christmas and a lot of things in the church, we kind of sentimentalize them or we idealize them. So let's have a deeper look at what it was like in Nazareth in the time of Jesus. And Nazareth was often referred to as the backwater of all backwaters. You know, somewhere, some place where nobody ever really went and nobody really wanted to live there. And so that's one of the reasons when Jesus began his public ministry, people said about him, can anything good come from Nazareth? You know, that wasn't a very nice thing to say, and that was a put down. And then we got to look at other words when he began his public life. He's the son of the carpenter. And then we got to look at that word, carpenter, and go back to the Hebrew and the Aramaic, and the word for carpenter was tecton. And a tecton wouldn't be, strictly speaking, a carpenter in our sense of the word, but more of a handyman, an odd job man, a man that would do bits of work here and there. So no permanent job, depending very much on who wanted something done. So it was, you know, probably very difficult for that little family. Mary, we're told, the Greek word, or Hebrew word he used for, she was a Parthenon, just a humble little girl, a teenager probably that time in Nazareth. They were kind of non-people. That's the way people of Nazareth were regarded, insignificant. It wasn't a nice way of looking at them, and probably we today do that to some people too. And so, why do you think Jesus, who was a son of God, was born into that little family and lived in that little non-place, the backwater of backwaters? Wouldn't you have thought, if he was a son of God and he came to tell us about God, wouldn't you have thought he'd have spent most of his life preaching and talking to people? No. So between the age of 12 and the age of 30, he lived a very simple life, helping his dad, looking after his mom in that little place called Nazareth. Why? It's worth thinking about. And it's worth maybe more than thinking. It's worth using that maybe as a little meditation sometime. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? What is Jesus saying to me in that respect? That he would spend that much time, most of his life, in that little place. And I think he was saying to us, it's the little people that really matter. It's the little things in life. It's the ordinary things that we do that give glory to God. I suppose if you ask any young person today, what do you want to be when you get older? A lot of them would want to say, I want to make a lot of money, or I want to be famous. And that's not what Jesus was teaching us. Jesus was teaching us just to be the person that God made, doing little things and doing our best each and every day, and living in a simple life. It's all about simplicity. And that's why, when he began his public ministry, he had a difficult job. The priests didn't want to know him, the priests in the temple, because to them, coming from a place like Nazareth, he was a nobody. an on person. David said, what right have you to speak to us? And you, the son of Joseph, the son of a carpenter, from a place called Nazareth. He had every right. So going on from there, family. We all live in families, or we're all part of a family, and if not, we want to be part of a family. And so let's have a little look at family for a moment. And I think the best way of looking at that, I want to tell you a lovely story that our lovely Holy Father, Pope Francis, told very recently, and it comes down to children. Children are very, very, very perceptive. They don't miss a trick, believe me. And so there's this little family, mom and dad, and they have four children. And grandpa, the father's father, the grandparent of the children, is living with them. And unfortunately, granddad has the beginning of Parkinson's disease. So when he's at table with the family, because of, you know, the difficulty in holding a cup and holding a fork and knife, he tends to spill some of his food on the table and makes a bit of a mess on the table. And then some of the food goes down his chin and down his front and so on. And so the dad, his son, gets disgusted with this, unfortunately. So one day, the dad goes out and he buys a little table and he puts the table over in the far corner of the room so that granddad can go over there in the far corner of the room and eat on his own, and the family can get on with their meal over there. And that went on for a while. And then one day, the dad comes home from work, and one of his little sons is playing with some wood. And dad says to the son, he says, what are you making? And he says, Dad, I'm making a table. And he says, why are you making a table? He says, I'm making a table for you, Dad, that when you get old like Granddad, we can put you over in the corner. Bye. He got him right there. After that, Grandpa was back at the table, eating his meal with the family, and Mom and Dad were helping Granddad, and he became totally part of the family. And Pope Francis said, that changed his whole life. And he said, we've got to treasure our grandparents. We've got to treasure older people. Pope Francis celebrated his 80th birthday two weeks ago, on the 17th of December. He was 80. He said, we've got to treasure our older people because they have a wisdom and an experience that can only be gained by living life. And unfortunately, today, I don't think we really have that respect for older people. We often push them aside. Oh, he's old or she's old. And I'm very aware in Ireland, one of the fastest growing industries, or one of the best way to make money at the moment, they're building more and more retirement homes every day. And one time in Ireland, and in lots of parts of the world, we look after our old people. Now we're building homes, retirement homes. And that's sad. It's lovely when you go into a house and granddad or a grandparent is living with the family. We, as Pope Francis said, any society that doesn't have a respect for older people loses a lot a lot of his failure, a lot of his memories. We really, and that's something to think about, you know, a little lesson from the Holy Family. And just to finish off, I was saying to you, children are very, 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 very perceptive, really perceptive. So one day, Mom is at the sink, cleaning up after a meal and washing the plates and so on. And a little girl is sitting there watching her. And then as little girls or little people, I want to say, Mom, she says, you've got some white hair on the back of your head, some grey hairs. Because when Mom was using the bottle, she forgot the back or something. And she said, you've got some grey hairs on the back of your head. Why is that? And Mom says to her, well, I got some grey hairs on the back of my head because every time you do something naughty or do not do what you're told, I get a grey hair. Oh, she said. And she thought about that. And then she says, Mom, yes, darling, is that why Grandma is so grey? You cannot fool children. They're lovely, they're beautiful, and they watch you, and they do what they see you doing. And that's why I often say to parents at a baptism, they'll never do what you tell them. They will do what they see you doing. It's the example that counts. And the greatest thing you can give to your children is that they see you, Mom and Dad, totally in love. And if they see you totally in love, they will never, never have any doubts about being loved. That's what really matters. Love, love, love. And that's what the Holy Family was all about.